10th, 2007 meeting, of the Affiliates Task Force. And Teresa, can you take the role, please?
Well, I would like someone else to take the role, and I will take it from here on, if you don't mind, because I don't have a list that, at this time. Can you do that for me?
I'm looking for, I shut down that list.
Rick, would you like me to do it?
Yes, please. That would be great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sar Rondawa, Chandra Hoffman,
here.
Margaret Prescott, Alan Minsky, Don White,
here.
Ray LaForest, Sean Rhodes,
I'm here.
Berta Silva, Teresa Allen,
here.
Sandra Rollins,
here.
Evelyn Bethune,
present.
Deb Shafto,
here.
Rob Robinson,
here.
Palanji
Olusegun.
Olusegun.
Olusegun. Riff Robbins,
here.
Lori Taguma. Ursula Rudenberg, here. Dina Colbert,
here.
Okay, thank you. Then the first thing we should do is approve the agenda. And I think if people, do people have any other additions? What we're adding to the one that was sent out was that we have a five-minute...
Well, we're going to have a guest for 5 minutes from a Selma, Alabama station, and possibly he'll be calling in. And when he does call in, we want to spend 5 minutes hearing him tell us about his station, and we can ask some questions. And the other addition is that just below the...
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So how do you, want that to be item number 4 under approval of minutes, and how would you like that stated? You want it put under, like, Selma, Alabama affiliate report? Is that what you want it labeled?
I would think we would put it as guest affiliate, affiliate guest representative.
Affiliate guest representative.
Yep, because we were going to try to do this at every meeting. So this will be part of the agenda in the future.
And what are the call letters of that station?
Ursula.
WBFV.
WB as in Bravo, F like in Fox, and V like in Victory?
Z is in Zebra.
Zebra, okay. Thank you.
Who just joined
us? Got on.
Okay.
Who is that?
Berta Silva.
Berta, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then I don't know if we need to add this to the agenda, but there is a question about how additional members can participate in the work groups that we have. So I think that could just come up when we do the follow-up on task force members joining the work group.
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the agenda as amended with the guest speaker.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any objection to that?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Since I could move my part of it toward the top.
Yes, if we don't hear from the guest right away, we're immediately going to the CFO report.
Oh, thanks.
And the question. Yeah.
Somebody just joined the call.
Berta Silva.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if there's no objection, we'll just approve this agenda. Next is the approval of minutes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I would like to add, after report of outreach group, which I think is item number 7, I would like to add item number 8 be new business. Just leave it blank for something that might come up.
Okay.
Okay. And then adjourn is number 8.
Oh, yeah, adjourn. That's an important part.
No,
yes, it is.
We can't adjourn. We have to stay on all night. Who just joined the call?
Cliff.
Okay, well, that's perfect timing. If that's Cliff Albright, then...
Yes.
Perhaps Ursula could do a very brief introduction, and we could hear from Cliff right away.
Okay. Our guest speaker is
Cliff Albright. Cliff is from Selma, Alabama, from a new affiliate, WBFZ, which is a station which is very connected to the tradition in Selma of civil rights. And Cliff has a radio show together with the Honorable Mr. Chestnut. And this show is well known in their area for a place where people come to meet and speak about race and politics. So Cliff was the person who reached out to Pacifica to affiliate and is in the process of speaking to a station about how they will use the affiliation. And Cliff, I'll let you take it from there.
Okay. Well, hello to everybody, and thank you for having me.
Greetings.
Greetings.
Welcome.
Well, as Ursula said, my name is Cliff.
Excuse me, Cliff. Can you increase the volume on your phone?
Okay, let me see what I can do. Hold on one
moment. Thank you.
Is that better or worse? Mm. Hello?
I increased the volume on my phone.
Okay.
We hear you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, yes, I'm Cliff Albright. I've been in Selma for about 9 years now, originally from the Bronx, New York, and I've got a relatively long history for a relatively brief life of community activism. I'm active in the Malcolm X grassroots movement and focusing on human rights issues, self-determination issues, have been involved in a lot of civic engagement. Voter education, voter registration, voter participation issues in Selma. I've been involved in youth work, anti-violence, things like that, and a lot of social justice work, death penalty, various other issues, police brutality, anti-police brutality. And pretty much our station has been around for about 5 years now. And I've been involved with it for about 3 years now, mainly through the talk show that I co-host and / produce, along with attorney J.L. Chestnut, who's known throughout the world for his litigation, civil rights litigation. He's one of the lead attorneys on the Black Farmers case. But long before that was the attorney to Dr. King and SCLC during the voting rights movement right here in Selma. And some people know about his book, Black in Selma, which is about to go through its third release. And we have a show which is called The Public Conversation. It's basically a call-in format. We will usually set the tone for the show, and the show comes on 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 12 to 2. And we will usually set the tone for the show with opening commentary or news roundup and opening commentary, usually from JL, about some issue touching on race and politics and society. And from there, it's pretty much anything goes. You know, sometimes we'll get phone calls that'll follow up on the tone that we've set, and sometimes they'll take it in a whole different direction. And we might wind up talking about local politics. We might wind up talking about Iraq. We might wind up talking about the role of religion and a whole variety of other issues, gender, and you know, and you just never really know which direction it's going to go in. And one of the things people like is that whatever direction it goes in, we can usually go with the flow. But what it's become is a space for people to be able to talk about issues that have been taboo in Selma and the Black Belt of Alabama for a very long time, to have an open discussion primarily about race relations, about how we talk about race, about how various issues, various political issues that are going on in Selma and the Black Belt, which most people will look at as just random issues, at the core have race involved in it, one way or another, you know. And so we get into some lively discussions with folks who agree with us and have just never had a mechanism to voice their opinions, and folks who disagree with us. And surprisingly enough, we'll get a pretty equal amount of Black folks who disagree with us, as well as some of our occasional white callers. And one of the interesting things about the show is that we do have a tremendous listening audience within the white community of Selma in Dallas County. And sometimes we get calls, and we get into some heated discussions sometimes. And sometimes we find commonality and sometimes we don't. But at the end of the day, you know, I think everybody is better off because of the discussion. And we think that that's why even if the folks that disagree continue to call, because it everybody wants the discussion, like it, hate it, agree or disagree. It is a desperately, desperately needed discussion in this area in particular, but throughout this country as a whole. And we've been surprised by the some of the comments that we get from places that are within our listening audience but not part of our immediate community, other places throughout the Black Belt, because our show reaches about 12 or 13 counties in towns that a lot of people have never heard of, but people who will call in and say, you know, we've been having X problem and we haven't done anything about it, but after listening to your show, you know, we decided to challenge our mayor on, you know, this and that, or to run somebody for mayor for this other position, you know, or to go to a county commission meeting where they had never gone to one. And so, you know, we've been inspired by the people who have been inspired by the conversation, not inspired by us, because a lot of times what the inspiration is coming from some of our callers. So, but again, it's just having that mechanism out there for people to have their voices heard and to hear things that they just never heard on the public airwaves. So it's been a joy for me to be a part of, partially because of the interaction with the audience, partially because of being able to listen to Dale Chestnut, who's just a walking library. And this is our flagship show, but we do have other shows. We have other shows that deal with politics, that deal with religion, that deal with various other issues. It's a mixed format station, kind of classic R&B when it's music, and then late at night there's a kind of a hip-hop segment, and during the middle of the day, roughly from 11 to 2 or 11 to 3 is the talk period, and then plus the weekend talk and church-related shows and things like that. So it's a mixed format station.
Cliff, this is Ursula.
Uh-huh.
We probably should move on pretty quickly. So could you take a few minutes to maybe field questions or? Okay. Is anybody like to respond to what Cliff has said before we have to go back to
Evelyn? Evelyn.
Go ahead.
Hi, Cliff. It's nice to have you. We really, really appreciate hearing about what you're doing in Selma and about your station.
Mm-hmm.
Can we pick you up on the Internet?
That's something that we're actually working on. We're working on you know, getting the equipment necessary to do some live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
We had a temporary website up where for a while we were putting up different clips from the show, and we're trying to move that over to a different website that would let us put larger clips on, because right now we can only do 3-minute clips, and so we want to at least be able to do you know, at least like 20-30 minute segments where we could put JL's commentaries up on the website and also do live streaming. So we're working on that. We're hoping to have that in the next couple of months.
Don White here.
Go ahead, Don.
Cliff, this has just been extraordinary to have you on. I'm in Los Angeles. I felt compelled to visit the bridge and visit Selma, but not during the hot spots. It was somewhat after that, but I felt compelled, and I was in Selma, and it was the only place in the South where I saw the two-tiered sidewalks where Black people were required to walk on the lower level of the sidewalk, and there was an elevated sidewalk in Old Selma for white people. I was almost moved to tears to see the situation. My question is, does your program reach, do you know whether your program reaches like high school age kids in that area who need to hear the history and to be reminded of what sacrifices and courage you know, is exhibited in the civil rights movement?
Right. Well, not during the school year because we're on from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Oh, yeah.
But we do during the summer sometimes get some teenage listeners. And every now and then they'll call in. Some teachers I've heard have played around with, particularly in like the, one of the alternative schools, schools where they send the, you know, quote unquote, at-risk problem children, things like that, send the children. Some teachers have experimented with tuning the show in during class time.
Oh, great!
And letting them listen to the discussion. And unfortunately, one of our teachers told me that they were directed not to do that by the school superintendent, who was sometimes a target on the program. But yeah, it's during the summer is probably when we get the most interaction with young folks.
Sure.
This is Chandra from Berkeley, California. Hi, welcome to Pacifica. We're very excited to have your station added to our network, and I would like to know what prompted you to join up with us.
Well, a couple of things. One, we were looking to, or really me more so than anybody else, really wanted to try to get some outside voices, you know, to get some voices, some folks, yeah, other than ourselves, who are talking about the same issues. You know, part of the challenge that we have here in just about any isolated rural community is even when you have folks who are activists and speak up, you know, there's this isolation that this is just us, that this is just our problem, this is just this person or this group of people who are talking about this. And so, you know, what we desperately need is, you know, for a network like Pacifica where we can let folk hear, people in California or New York or Texas, talking about the same issues from the same perspective. It just really, in addition to adding information, it just reinforces the things that we're already talking about. So, and there were a couple of shows that Pacifica had that I thought fit very well with our format and with our target audience. And so that was part of it. And then also I wanted to, which I've unfortunately not had the time to really focus on, but I wanted to be able to get some of our discussions into a broader network, to be able to go back and edit our shows and upload it into AudioPort and other stations here what we're talking about, because I think that we do have some discussions that even within the Pacifica network that you don't hear a lot of. You know, we have some debates and some exchanges that you just don't get a lot of places, even within progressive and social justice programming.
Wow. Cliff, you give us hope. Thank you.
Well, thank
you. Beautiful.
Is there I hate to be this way, but we need to move on.
Move on.
Since,
yeah.
Is there anybody else that would like to say something before Cliff leaves us?
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're part of the family.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very, very much.
A lot about the program.
Thank you. All.
Thank you, Cliff. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ursula.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon.
Good night.
Bye bye.
Okay, thank you,
so,
Ursula, very much.
Yeah, thanks, Ursula. That was really great to hear that.
Mr. Chair, the next item should be approval of the minutes.
Could you ask him on your own, Ursula? It might be interesting to find out which programs he is particularly interested in.
He's interested in Democracy Now!, Hard Knock Radio, and I think Counterspin were the shows that he pinpointed.
Great.
Wonderful.
Teresa, can you remind us of the date of the minutes that we need to approve?
Good question. I have to do that. I have to go into. Of course, see, I think they're perfect because I presented them.
Sure.
I was not prepared for that question, which is silly of me.
Mine are like January something. There's got to be some more recent ones. Okay, can we move the agenda and we'll come back to this matter in a couple minutes?
Yeah,
or
that'd
after
be great.
The next item?
Yeah.
And the next item is the discussion with the CFO to get budgeting information. And so first, I would like to thank Lonnie Hicks. I've heard that there's some family illness, and that we don't need to go into that now on the call, but let me say that when important personal matters such as that come up, we need to acknowledge and appreciate the time taken to meet with us on an evening outside the normal workday. So I want to thank you, Lonnie, for being here. And anyone interested in those specifics can talk to Lonnie off the call. But I want to start this discussion by reiterating what Lonnie wrote in his email today, the last line, that we are inventing the wheel here. We know what the wheel looks like and how it should work, but we're making it here from scratch, so we need to get a lot of information before we start to brainstorm on the specific points. So I guess I want to ask how the group wants to deal with the questions. I have a suggestion that we let Lonnie present a preamble of sorts about the overall budget process and the program, and then we can deal with the list of questions. And are there other suggestions from participants on how we should proceed?
Sounds good.
Well, if
that sounds fine.
Then, okay, well then I'd ask Lonnie to go ahead and give us a kind of a preamble and a presentation.
Okay, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Let me take the issue.
Wow, it's good. Hello?
Oh,
sorry. What just happened?
I think a train just went by. I'm not sure.
Hi, it's Sandra, and that was a big bolt of thunder and lightning. The mute for this is star or #1?
#1.
Okay.
Woo.
Okay. Let me just start going through just three questions and then see if that works for you folks. If not, you can just stop me. I'm taking that the three large questions are, how do we get a budget for the affiliate, and what's the process that would underlie, you know, the creation of that animal? The second one is, what is the, aside from the budget process, what is the board process, at least from my point of view? And the third one is, how do we take what we currently have as a starting point, that is to say, how do we get a good baseline sense of what monies are brought in by the affiliates and affiliate programs, and what are the expenses? So I think I was talking with Chandra, and I said, what I can do is I can come up with what the budget is for the affiliates from the sources that I have it from. I think Ursula did a budget, and then there are some ones that are inside the national office, and I'll bring the budget together with the expenses that I can identify related to the affiliates program. Now, we haven't done that before. Their expenses for the affiliates program are included in expenses for the travel, for example, in broad categories like travel and conferences and training. And all of us here in the national office sort of use that budget. But let me start with the first question of how, if we wanted to, take the affiliates program and make it into a program project, whatever we want to call it, we don't have a word for it yet, that would have a budget that could be reviewed by the board along with the budgets, along with other entities in the network. Let's just take that as a goal. And I think in my email, I sort of addressed it. Let me just give you a quick rundown of how we're set up with some of the other things we call committees, task force programs, and whatnot. Let's take PRA. PRA is set up as a program within the national office budget, and it is distinctive in that it is a board-mandated program with a source of income, and that income is from the station. And by board motion, going back further than I can see in these records, its income is flowing from a board mandate where 2.5% of station revenues, central services, in fact, goes to PRA. So that's its base funding. Aside from that base funding, it, of course, raises money on its own, on the air, and, of course, through sales of other items. So that is one model. That model has a source of funds, has a board sort of charge related to what it's supposed to be doing. That is one model that you could aspire to. say affiliates are a program. We want to identify revenue for it, and we, of course, do have a source of revenue. And we want a board motion that would identify its broad charge, that is, what it wants to, how it's going to achieve any goals the board might mandate for it. The second level of organization, we're talking models now. That's the PRA model, which I sort of tried to lay out. The second one, the way to go is to say, okay, we're a committee. And being a committee is new. Right now, no committee of the board has a budget per se that's reviewed, recommended, goes through the finance committee, the prioritization process. But that is no possibility. Then there's the cost center model. The cost center model is where you are a cost center. That is to say, you are a program or an individual who would expend funds from specific line items sitting in the national office budget. So those are three sort of models that exist in Pacifica. We may yet invent a fourth, but I think that the first step, I think I was talking with Chandra, the first step is to establish what are the revenue and expenses for the program, and in 2 weeks I'll give you that information so you can have a baseline here in 07 as a prelude to setting up the 08 budget. Now, how would expenses be tracked in these different ways of looking at it? On the cost center model, I can do what we do with the board. If you look at the income statement, board expenses are broken out right there in that income statement so you can see what expenses are coming for training, conferences, telephone calls, travel, P&D meetings. I can do that for the affiliates and break it out so you get more details related specifically to that affiliate program. Not a problem. I can do that. But it will have to be in the old budget, and I would establish the baseline, that is to say, give you information on what you have spent so that when you construct that budget, you'll have some baseline data to work from for 08. And 08 is a month away, so 2 months away at least. We do a draft in June, and then the final budget is done in September. If you go PRA model, then that would be broken out like the PRA budget is broken out as shown separately. And we would, of course, that would be a model right in the format that we use for all budgets. That is to say, that would be part of the format of a consolidated budget and the budget line items that the stations use, et cetera. And the cost center one is, the committee one is an unknown animal. I guess you could do the same thing with a committee. Say, this is the committee, the affiliate committee. Here are its revenues, and here are its detailed expenditures month to month. So those are the three ways to go. The budget timeline, I think most of you have. If you don't, I'd be happy to send them along, and you can see what our timeline would be. Anyway, to summarize, looking at first steps are to do two things simultaneously. For me to get to you what expenses are associated with the affiliates program as new as I can get them from invoices and other sort of activities. And the second one is have that discussion of what do you want to be, you know, a committee with a budget, which is breaking new ground because other committees will say, we'd like to do that too, and then we're all into that discussion. Remain a cost center with more detail and a breakout, which I said I could do, or go for a PRA-like structure with a formal budget that you all know as part of the income statement. So those are three directions to go, and I'd be happy to do what I can to help flesh it out. Finally, in my email, there's tracking. Tracking is important because once you start tracking, you want to know how well a given budget is performing. So the first step is look at a budget in terms of what actually is happening this year. Second step would come up with a format and a concept for next year as a part of the budgeting process. So I'll stop right there and see if there's anything else that I can add to it. But we are inventing it. It's not been exactly done this way before, except for the PRA example.
Rip, can I get on the stat?
Yes, go ahead.
A couple of questions, Lonnie. This is Evelyn. How are you?
Yeah, how you doing, Evelyn?
I'm good. A couple of questions. In setting up a line item for the affiliates,
yeah.
Have we not I mean, when the information is entered into the system in terms of the expenses, it's not maybe some kind of a code on it that will tell you that it's an affiliate expense?
No, it's right where it's set up. It's like, you know, it's like, remember Yolanda was talking about HR? We have a common
mm-hmm.
travel budget. I use it, HR uses it, the affiliates use it.
Okay, so there's no, like, designation, like a departmental number or anything that would tell you it's HR or an affiliate or anything. It's just kind of lumped together.
Yeah, it's kind of lumped together as part of the national office budget.
Okay.
So
the other part, okay, go, I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's sort of how it is. We're talking about breaking that out and trying to identify affiliate-related expenses, and we would create a code for it when we got to that point.
Okay, and the other part of my question is as it relates to determining, you know, how we want to be designated, because we do have an income coming in for the affiliates. I guess, you know, that would basically make it different from other committees that may not be generating a specific income from
That's
the
true.
Activities. So when we're talking about, you know, how to do it, it's like basically like a department with no budget that's generating income. Pretty much is the way that it looks right now. So, you know, I don't think it would really cause a problem with other committees because the uniqueness of what the affiliate program is doing. It's not like anything else that we have as it relates to committees.
Yeah, you do have an argument there that you're a committee with an income. Other committees can't necessarily make that claim. That's true. It's a good argument.
Okay.
Are there other questions?
I just needed a little clarity. Thank you.
I'll just make a comment here that in Lonnie's email, he does say that in 2 weeks he's going to provide the tracking of the affiliate-related expenses. And I know that we had some questions on the list about that, and so that's, he has said that will be coming in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's just you have to go through all the invoices and then, you know, allocate them to the affiliates or affiliate-related, and you have to bring them all together and then attach a budget to it, too, because you have to break out the budget and the expenses. So it's, you know, constructing a, you know, sort of a budget from scratch. That's why that's why it'll take a couple of weeks.
Okay.
Are there other questions?
I can mention a couple of things.
Okay.
Bravo.
Okay.
There are pros and cons for each model. I wanted to mention that. I think Rip and I sort of had that conversation. But there are pros and cons, okay,
mm-hmm.
For each one of the ways to go. The pro for the PRA model is that you get to people get to see the affiliate program as a separate program, get to see the budget expenses, and also get to see what it's doing and how the budget is matching up to priorities. That's the pro for sort of a PRA model. You get to see what you see with a PRA budget. The con of it might be about sharing other expenses that you don't currently share. And somebody's going to pipe up and say, well, as you see in my email, what about sharing the expenses that Ron Insurance or Workers' Comp or sharing programming expenses or for Democracy Now? That is to say, sharing some of the expenses for some of the services that the affiliates get, you know, national programming, FSRN, that sort of thing.
Well, I'd like to comment on that, if I may.
Yeah, and that would be a legitimate question in the context of that model. So the committee
okay.
model is in betweener. It sort of says, well, I'm a committee of the board, and as such, I'm a part of the board's budget. And sort of that those kinds of questions don't necessarily come to the surface that as easily if you're a committee of the board. You're part of the board expenses and board revenue in this case. That's the advantage of that committee model. Cost center model is that none of those questions come up. You know, you sort of spend out of a common budget. We put money in those budgets. You get to expend it. We do a side budget like Ursula did. And our proposed expenses side budget is sort of what we'd be shared with you folks on the utility side and Ursula, and you could work from that budget as, from the known budget, but it wouldn't necessarily be formal and become part of the discussion at the finance committee and at the board. So that's the advantage of that cost center model that we're using. So anyway, that's sort of my view of what the pros and cons are for each one of those models.
Chandra?
I think what would be most helpful, rather than commenting on the individual proposals, mm-hmm. is after everybody finishes their questions, to thank you for your presentation, and then we can have our discussion about reviewing the various options. And what I would ask, Lonnie, is when you have the budget analysis done for us, and hopefully by that time we will have thought about the way we would like to go, if you could come back on the call, and then we could discuss the various, you know, what our proposal is with you and how we want to proceed, and have a question and answer session then based on the expenditure model, expenditures that you give us.
Yeah, I agree. You need something that you can see. What do you spend money on and how much? That gives you some way to some baseline to start with, but as you look to an 08 budget. I agree. That's a good way to go. You know,
so can we get a commitment from you to meet back with us after we've done that analysis? And after you've done the analysis, given us the expense breakdown, and we've determined what proposal we want to put forward?
You're asking Lonnie about that.
Yeah.
Commitment.
Commitment.
Sure.
Commitment.
Always makes me a little... I'm looking... 2 weeks from now, the 24th, we have a finance committee meeting on that day. So not exactly on that date. You folks have a meeting schedule, a regular meeting schedule?
I think that we would need the to review what you're going to send us in 2 weeks. So it would be a time after that, and it could be in the next meeting as long as we're not pushing this out so far that we're going to be late.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. You don't want to go. That's why I'm committing to 2 weeks to get you up.
Okay.
I can have it to you by the 24th, and then be there in a subsequent meeting after you get a chance to have that discussion.
Well, we'll have to talk after this on a special meeting.
Okay. I'm happy to do that. I'll keep my commitment.
Before Lonnie goes, I have one more question. If I
oh sure, yeah, there's a and I do.
Every day is by the 24th, so that's what we're saying.
Yeah, if we get your material by then we'll have a meeting in the next week.
I'll do that. I'll have it ready. I'll get it to you.
Thank you, Lonnie.
This is Teresa. I would like. I'm assuming that this is a motion by Chandra Hotman. Chandra, would you please repeat what you're requesting, and then I would like Lonnie to repeat what he's agreeing to do, so I can put it in the minutes.
I guess if you want it in the form of a motion, well, Lonnie has already agreed to provide.
Already agreed to do it. So I would give you what amounts to a budget with expenses up to March, so you can see how the budget for affiliates would look at least. One from the first 6 months of this fiscal.
And what we had talked about is you were going to match those expenditures up against Ursula's budget that she had presented.
Yeah. I'm going to try to integrate the budget so that she did with the expenses and in our budget categories here that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try to, meld those two.
Okay, so Lonnie Hicks will provide a budget with expenses until March of 08 and is
For this fiscal year beginning at 10-1. Correct, Lonnie?
Yes.
10-106 to 3-31-07 or 3-30.
Yes, up to March. I have those data in. I have the invoices. I have the bills, so I can look at those.
All right, from 10-1-06 to 3-31-07, and we'll integrate Ursula's budget with what?
With the budget categories we have here, that there's, a lot of the expenses are sitting in our budget categories, the budget categories for the network, for the national office, and I'll integrate those with the budget categories that Ursula has, and then I can get a sense of how both fit together.
Okay.
And then I'll present that to you. I'll send it along.
And you'll present that to us by 5-4-07?
24.
No. 5-24.
Yeah, I'll get it out to you.
5/24.
He said in the next couple of weeks.
Two weeks. Get it done.
And then Lonnie also committed. Thank you very much, Lonnie, to come back and meet with us after we've reviewed his data and answer our questions.
Somewhere around the 31st of May would be a week later. Is that what we're thinking?
Yeah.
So that's Memorial Day weekend, I believe.
Yeah, we got to work a little bit around the holiday, but the task force will need to discuss that date, and I think we should probably do that after so that we're not taking up time that Lonnie's here with us.
Cool.
But we will certainly let him know right away after this call what date we've chosen for that.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I have Evelyn, and then when other members are finished, I have a couple questions. So, Evelyn?
Okay. My other question, Lonnie, was now I've gone senile. Hang on for a minute. I have to dial up the information in my brain. When you were saying that the budget figures for being charged for programming, like Democracy Now, the fee that the affiliates pay, that's all inclusive, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Or do we charge them for individual programs?
Well, no, it's all inclusive. They send like a check on a sliding scale, and we have that. I think we're projected for the affiliates to raise $206,000 or so. That's what the budget is on the revenue side.
Uh-huh.
But what I was getting at was that if you become like PRA or more formal part of the budgetary system, on an accounting side, you also are in a different kind of group where the expenses that the affiliates incur, like costs for programming they receive, might be a...
I understand. My question was, do you see that as being something in addition that we're going to have to ask the affiliates to cover? Or...
No.
Can you tell us at some point how you will arrive at what that expense will look like for the affiliates task force?
I'm going to include that in my budget in 2 weeks. I'm going to give you a sense what those potential expenses would look like.
I'll
be flying blind when you go into it.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. That answers my question.
Any other questions? If it's okay, I have a couple questions to ask. One thing, Lonnie, you know, the affiliate coordinator has been given additional tasks, and those include outreach activities, such as the one with the Radio for People. You know, there could be some could say that, well, that could result in affiliates, but I'm not sure that actually is really the goal of it. In fact, it's been stated in public quite frequently at the board that the idea of the Radio for People program that we're joining other organizations with, it's not necessarily that they have to be Pacifica stations or Pacifica affiliates, but just that we're trying to foster community radio around the country. So I'm wondering if there's activities that the affiliate coordinator is doing now that are not really related to the affiliate program, but are really benefiting Pacifica Foundation, and is that going to be factored into, you know, the expenses that are charged to affiliate program per se, and is there any plan to probably broaden that role of that office to be more involved with outreach?
Well, I understand that that's been under discussion, and Greg mentioned it to me. But I think that it's what he was saying to me was that there was a grant for about $10,000 that could cover the cost of that activity, if I'm thinking about the same thing.
Okay.
And so it's revenue neutral. And the issue of creating, say, an outreach function that would be added to the job description, or Ursula's job description, yeah, that would be a part of constructing the OA budget. You would have new activities. You would have, presumably, if there was any expense attached to that new activity, and present that as part of the OA budget. So that's how I think that could be accommodated.
To follow up on that, let's say that in future years or next year there is not a grant, because in this particular year we have the there's a lot of attraction to the, well, we have the window of filing, and so there's a lot of attraction to fund this effort right now, but there would be outreach activities in the future. Would the national office consider contributing, or does the affiliate program have to generate all the revenue for all the outreach for the foundation?
Well, that's a good question. That is a good question. Here's sort of how it works in the national office. We don't know what our revenues are at the national office until all the stations have, you know, finished their budgets virtually. Then we know what the central service income will be. So we have to wait until the sort of last part of the budget process to know how much money is going to be available. And then if it's not enough to cover expenses or even new activities, then what we generally do is we'll cut back somewhere, or we will what I have done is try to supplement our income. Of course, say, you know, PRA goes on the air for 2 days, or in the case of the affiliates per se, maybe it's a mixture of new monies that we can see can be done and generated from the national office, along with minor tweaks in the affiliate rate. But it's hard to know. You need to know how much are we talking, then you can see what the likely sources of that revenue might be. But you do have to identify the sources of the revenue for the cover new activities. Otherwise, you'll never get out of finance. They won't go for it. They'll want to see exactly where the revenue is going to come from. So it's it's hit and miss and struggle in order to finance new activities at the same time find the money for it. But yeah, I am a strong. Supporter of the affiliate program. I think that's where our future is. And my board presentations are about that. They're also behind it. I'm willing to support it with real revenue because I think that that it's exciting. And we want to be a national network. And the affiliates have been really great in working with us toward that goal.
Don White here.
Don, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up. I mean, this is a very important discussion and very, I think, an excellent one. In an institution as large as Pacifica, there's normally like a development division. In other words, development is a lot of what the affiliate coordinator is doing, because now that we have gone from under 30 affiliates to 115 or so on. And there are a lot of other issues around marketing and so on. I'm kind of ignorant in this score. Is there a development budget that should possibly include some of the work the affiliate coordinator is doing in the area of Pacifica Foundation development, in addition to simply servicing and recruiting affiliates? What is there any kind of budget line for development?
Well, we have Phil Osegeda here in the national office, and his title is assistant to the ED. But he's actually functioned, we're working with me, station.
What did you say his title was?
Assistant
or did you?
Assistant to the ED right now.
Uh-huh.
That's his title. But he came to the national office to work on development projects out on a national basis. And we, of course, have mounted, development projects right out of the national office, but at the same time working with stations on development issues.
Mm-hmm.
So to answer your question, I guess, more directly, yeah, I think that a comprehensive outreach effort is needed, and we need to look at it to fund it. I keep going back to my board presentation, but a national and a regional and local strategy involving heavy involvement with affiliates is critical. And I think we need to, you folks could start looking at how that could, those could be identified and passed so that we could get moving toward doing it in 08 would be good. I just don't think that we can continue to see the local stations as the ways in which growth is going to occur. We have to look to the regional area, to our affiliates, and I think that's my theme song. So I'm happy to look at what could get done.
Uh-huh.
I think we need to do something and look at what an effort would take that would be beneficial.
Are there any other questions by members? Otherwise, I have.
This is Ursula. Can I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead, Ursula.
Lonnie, I was confused by your statement about the revenue neutral situation with the $10,000 grant.
Hold on a second.
The question actually asked by RIP was how does, you know, work that the affiliates coordinator does that isn't directly associated with working affiliates, how is that factored into the budget? And you know, it doesn't just involve the Radio for People. You know, as part of the national office, I do other activities that are not really part of the affiliates program. They have to do with infrastructure of the network in various degrees. So I guess I wanted to ask that question again. How does that, where does that work get factored in? And in terms of the, I didn't understand the revenue neutral concept because that's basically saying that the money that came in is money that's not costing the network. So that, you know, that the person that will do the work that's paid by that money is not costing the network, but the cost of acquiring that grant is you know, shouldered by myself. So the labor is still there, and the, you know, the service to the network is still there. That's not a neutral situation. That's you know, labor done that is really above and beyond the affiliates coordinator role. So I guess what I would like to reiterate Rip's question: where does that show up? That you know, that service to the network.
Well, I guess I don't have an answer to that. I'd have to know more about what is done, or what sort of activity you're talking about specifically. But then, you know, once I understand it, or everybody understands it, I think that the discussion I remember having with Greg about it was that those activities would have to be placed inside a job description so that it's, you know, so that you could, so that it could be seen exactly what that contribution looks like. And then so that then some sort of plan budgetarily developed to support the activities that appear in that job description. So I can't answer directly because I'm not sure about all the activities that you do. But I still think that the way to make it clear what you do is to put it in a job description or put it in a project of some kind, and then we start looking for ways to fund those activities.
So you're saying if the work doesn't have a job description, it really can't show up anywhere. Is that in a sense what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that say you present and you say, look, I want to do some outreach. Part of this job, a lot of it's not in fact in capture, and maybe it may cost more money, it may not, doesn't matter, but in order to get it through the finance committee, if we had an HR person, we'd have to go through their process, those processes, so it's good to have it written down so people understand. Otherwise they question it and it gets held up, and then it goes to the board, and then it has to be sort of spelled out, not an elaborate book or anything. What are the activities? What do you present? Say, look, this is useful to the network. Here's what I'm doing. Just making it clear what those activities are is a good first step.
So okay. We should, and this is Chandra, we should put them all in our budget that we're going to prepare. We should include the other activities that Ursula performs, and submit that with a revised job description as part of the budget.
Yeah.
We will present to you.
Precisely.
Okay.
Precisely.
Okay, we can do that.
And then that gives us something. When people have questions, those questions will have some.
Right. Okay.
Okay, and are there other questions or comments from members of the call? And I have another question then. And so, you know, Lonnie, in your report, at the in-person meeting, there were a number of revenue-generating proposals that you've been suggesting to the board, and I must say that since last March, you've been telling the board that there needs to be an improvement in revenue generation because of the financial situation that the stations and the foundation has found itself in. And I, you know, have not seen a lot of response about that. But what I noticed is that the Finance Committee, in their minutes, at the end of their minutes, there's some ideas for development activities that are revenue generating. And in your PowerPoint presentation, you mentioned some of those. And a couple of those ideas have to do with the affiliate stations. I'm just wondering how the affiliate coordinator is put into the picture of the planning and design of those kind of development activities, because I'm not sure that it's been done. And would that be part of the job description of the affiliate coordinator / outreach person?
Yeah, I'm thinking that as part of that 08 budget, because we're looking toward 08. But let me give you an example of what has been done with some of those ideas. I'm just saying that you know, we can't make those revenue ideas happen, you know, working separately or in this. I'm thinking that 08 budget, I would love to sit with us and this group and say, here's some revenue ideas I've come up with, or other people have come up with around 08, where we as revenue opportunities and have it be a part of the budget. That's what I was talking about, priorities. And we did that last year with this 07 budget, and the concrete ways in which it's turned out is that we said we're going to do joint regional mailing. The two stations are doing that right now. We said we were going to do joint productions, and WPFW is talking with us about a 30th anniversary dinner, where they're going to try to raise funds for their capital campaign, and we're working with them on it. So I'm happy to collaborate. As I said, I think it really is. Sometimes it's small dollars. That's why we did the RFP. The RFP is available to everyone that may have a revenue idea around getting some project off the ground. So I encourage people. That RFP is also here this fiscal. So if there are folks, you know, if you want to get together on what can happen with that RFP, I'm happy to talk about it. That's why it's there, and that was one of the ideas that we sort of worked to get through.
What are the two stations that are doing the joint mailing?
T and WBAI. And the idea basically is that they had been doing some on their own, but they picked up on this idea of mailing to with five states, you know, surrounding Texas, in this case WBI, all of New England. And what we found was that members of progressive organizations, if you can get those mailing lists, for the station, they don't get if you market that station as the voice of progressive radio in that region. And it's happening. It's working. So I and the second step would be to work with the affiliates in that region and see if they are willing to work with a given station in a regional area. I think there's lots of things that could go back and forth in terms of interchange. For example, WBAI, talking with Bernard and his people, the idea was that how can we draw affiliates into a closer relationship with WBAI, other than just the contractual one they have with the network. The idea that came out was that you could set up a recording studio in which affiliates could come in, have contacts with groups, and bring them into a closer relationship. You could have the affiliates, you could create an hour on WBII schedule grid, opening up that grid, and have it be available to affiliates who can produce original material for that hour. You could bring the affiliates into a closer relationship by doing joint fundraising with them and seeing if there can be some mutual revenue production going on, sharing with them, you know, our mailing list with their mailing list and commingling them and doing it together, because we're going to have to do it with Free Speech Radio News anyway. That's what we're agreeing to do. So why couldn't we do it with our affiliates as well? So that's what I'm thinking people are trying out as ideas.
Lonnie, this is Dina Colbert. Can I ask you if in any way you have reached out to the affiliates to find out how they feel they can partner with you and the sister stations?
No, I don't. I don't. But I was thinking basically on the station level because the stations are there. I haven't had much contact with the affiliates on the national level, except for that 10-10-10 program we did, where we went to 10 states working with affiliates, did 10 events in the 10 weeks leading up to the 2004 election. But other than that, I haven't had much contact with the affiliates directly. But I think, you know, anything's possible that works. I would love to, as a result of this call or this process, you know, throw some ideas around and what we can come up with. I just think it's critical. As I say, to be blunt, the revenues coming through the station, the local station levels are flat, and listenership is declining. We have to try to look to other sources and relationships that will sustain us in the future. I consider the affiliates to be one on that list of how we can, you know, make that relationship work better for us and them, and how also I consider expanding our in the local out to local community organizations, a viable way to create support locally by some of Ambrose's ideas, I think, are excellent, and we could do those, look at those, at least try them. All this stuff might not work, but we should create a pot of money where people who want to do it and have the energy should be given that opportunity.